I've taken over most of the administrative, that's the whole thing, but on the schedule, I'm responsible for the day, when the day comes, I'm not responsible for any of the downstream planning.
Who does that?
All the downstream stuff, my chairman's assistant, Dave Parker, Dave, this fellow Dave Parker's taken over almost all of it.
The office, and I'm not talking about the way out of the country, that's all gonna be still with that, so we have a very, but actually, Dave, like this American's partnership.
Dave Parker and Holden together.
There, I gotta, I wanna get that out of Holden's, I mean, I don't want Holden to have to bother with it at all.
And it could be.
So is Dave Parker handling that?
He's doing what Chapin needs to do, Chapin is devoting 90% of his time to, you know, your outside of Washington schedule.
Dave Parker's, well, in terms of who I see in the office like this America, we swear an Ivy League, that's everything.
Prior to Holden's approval and Holden's discussions with you, Dave Parker.
Yeah, I'm quite, I'm trying to get him out of the mainstream, but how could, you mean the public?
That's the way you have Parker do it, or you do it, or what?
Dave Parker's damn good.
Oh, I know he's good, but I just wondered if maybe that's, if he should be, is he gonna do, well, I wanna get him to a lot more scheduling, and pull Bob on that too, so that Bob can frankly run the campaign committee.
Well, what you're saying is that Parker can work with me as he now works with Holden, because Parker lays out a plan that he says quite well thought out, and he runs it by Holden in the final group.
Chapin uses it with swearing in ceremonies, in this teenage American Republican leadership, Floyd Patterson, Parker does all that.
Every single request.
I heard that, well, I guess I thought I'm gonna go to Camp David at 5 o'clock, if he worked on it.
He doesn't work on it, that's right, that goes into his schedule, every single Holden, every single.
I should discuss that, Holden, I gotta be excited to go to Camp David today. And,
those things you discuss with Bob, and wanna keep quiet, Bob's office is the only one that knows about it.
Well.
And it doesn't.
That, well, that in the future, let me put it this way, we'll, now speak to Bob about how, except when the event, and sometimes there are even events that really involve massive publicity, like the revenue sharing or something, I think, signing. But for the cats and dogs, there's no reason for Bob to even worry about it, any reason for Parker to worry about it. I mean,
No, there really isn't. Sure.
I mean, it's just not that important. I mean, it's important, but it isn't something that requires discretion, particularly. I mean, if you want to put in a few things, you just try to work it out in a way.
Well, fine.
All right, I'll say to Bob, and then what we'll have to do is get you and Parker and probably Bob, and I'll say, no, look, about all this right now, I don't want any of this crap coming to Bob anymore, so you're totally away from him, so that he can concentrate on things that are very important.
Yeah. This is the only.
It's inevitable that I will talk to him about it. And that is because I just, because I understand he's in charge, I haven't talked to Parker, but if he's on that, if I talk to him and then he tells Higby and Higby tells Parker, that's a waste of time.
Higby doesn't care about it.
Well, then he shouldn't, but if I tell him he knows Parker, I should just tell Parker.
That's right.
Or tell you.
Yeah. Every single.
You could do it then. I mean, or I can tell you and Parker. I just want to cut the, you know, cut all of that.
But every request for your time doesn't
come. Or regardless
of what it's filtered into Parker's office. Parker sorts out a hell of a lot of garbage and comes up with a plan, a weekly plan, monthly plan. But he meets with Holden frequently and they discuss that plan. Whereas Chapin used to do this. Now Parker does. Now Holden has the feel for what you want to do and what you should do. It says, discard that, this is good,
well,
change it this way.
It isn't much of a problem anymore due to the fact that. Now on, we're not going to do anything except something that affects the election. And frankly, we're not going to have to do the little nicey-nice things that we usually do. I mean, oh, now and then you have to work in some bad thing.
Well, okay, we can talk about it. I frankly would welcome that. I get a bar option a lot.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll talk to him so that he can
do that.
He can just push it away, because I think it's, and then, of course, you can always go in and you have a responsibility, you can throw it up to Bob if it's something that involves, but you should be a team of leaders. Well, I determine things like that. You can come in and say, what about a leadership meeting? How about a cabinet meeting or some other man thing? Now, we have no leaders turning out of the convention, no more leaders meeting, and we have no more cabinet meetings.
schedule. And we just go over the next day. That's all I've been interested in, is the immediate following day. And not the downstream planning, but I'm doing it now. And I have the time I have. And I would love the opportunity to do those.
Sure, well, I guess you're going to think of, we've got to get the time to stuff filled off.
For him, when Bob leaves these long sessions with you, and Bob walks through my office, he can stop and
all. Doesn't need to do that. I want him to discuss it. Thank you. decision at all possible. We're trying to.
Suppose.
A little interest in this, screw the detail up.
Suppose they do clean up it.
So then you gotta sign it.
Should we?
Yeah, well, you don't have any choice. It's your bill.
Oh, I see. And it doesn't achieve the budget.
It does not. They're gonna bring the authorizations down. They're gonna give you your complete option on the board of directors.
That'd be all right.
And that's what we proposed in the first one. Oh, sure. Yep. He surrendered.
Then why would we be opposed to doing that?
Well.
You mean your view is politically, it'd be better not to have that.
They better to go on a continuing resolution so that the damn OEO bureaucracy was off balance. They're gonna be a potent rallying point.
For Shriver.
For Shriver. And, we've been doing some work this morning to figure out how to combat that. There's a guy named Phillips in there. We're gonna pull him out because he knows who the players are over there.
He's with us.
He's with us. He's very concerned about this. He's very much a loyal.
And he says that they really want to screw
it. That's right. And so.
How would a continuing resolution affect that?
Well, it's simply that, it gives you some leverage. See, the bill
but
gives us a 3-year.
I'm sure it's all better.
Peter Dominic before the meeting, asking if there's any way to bottle anything up, and that's what he referred to. We recognize that if we get a clean bill down here, we don't have any choice but to recommend that you sign it. Hell of a lot with the airlines trying to tighten up procedures to prevent them. And
doing this, Baker has now written you a memo. We told him no meeting because we didn't want him to appear embarrassed. The probabilities are that the conference will not clean the bill up appreciably. It will still be way, way over the budget. So that it will be a very clean shot from the standpoint of money. We don't have any choice in that regard. And we've passed the word. Everybody knows that you're looking very seriously at a veto on money grounds.
Right.
You still retain your options because the word we're passing is conditional. It's not fixed as it is with the labor HEW thing. So that's the position of that. There's Muskie is going to bring the dollar amount down some in the conference, but not enough to make the kind of difference that we would need in order to be able to solve our budget problem. You're trying to make a little harder choice for them.
They won't be in a position to argue and not try.
Oh, that's the signal. We've told them not to try. Baker doesn't like that signal, and that's the reason for all of this.
Well, Baker honestly believes in this, and I've got to have Baker as a city in that place of responsibility. And you get down to all things, guys. Right. And they all say, Jesus, this bill, that bill.
Helps
me like everything in black one.
Yeah.
You can be someplace you really have to draw an end line. You don't feel like mine or everything. It's really a discouraging business.
I don't understand Ford bringing up this labor HEW thing. Congressional guys had a signal into him for 2 weeks that it was firm on veto. But I want
to hear it from
me. I guess. That business of Scott's on the tactics of end the war, I've got a memo coming to you from Timmons because you marked it in your news summary. Remember Saxby hit the White House for not keeping the men informed up there? This was a lot of trail covering this morning on Scott's part. All this hocus pocus about I'm the captain on the bridge and all that kind of stuff. He's lost a lot of support, both right and left, among the Republicans. And he's in some trouble.
Did we screw this up?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, well.
Of course, you don't know.
I don't know, but.
I'm not sure. Henry says, but Henry may have said, go ahead, Jackson, and then change the signal.
Oh, on the Jackson thing. Now, that's different. That's different. Going back to the Saxby thing, where Saxby said, the White House didn't give us clear marching orders.
Yeah.
This thing has the ring of truth about it, that Scott was covering his tracks. He made a mistake. Now, on this latest one on Jackson, I honestly don't know. I don't know the ins and outs.
Jackson, Scott didn't tell you he didn't want the Aiken
Know the congressional
Scott, of course, always he gets so crooked that he himself does it. So,
Timmons and Corlos have a terrible time with Scott. He's terribly hard to deal with.
be out very shortly. What I've done is to have these key fact sheets worked over by a sloganeer. And I've got a set of...
put the call today, you know.
Find out what happened, or if they, I don't want them to send it here and destroy it again. I don't want to send them, pick them up, rot in the ground first, but they've been bringing them in and destroying them.
Yes, sir.
Have them put on a plane with somebody. They have planes that come from time.
I hope to find out what I know, sir. But they need that age.
Because they've been gone, and I imagine we lost perhaps a dozen boxes now, because they're just getting right. Once a week, all of a sudden.
Yes, sir.
Not a special plane.
Yes,
no special plane. All these were planes coming.
And one courier, week.
All right, Ron, that's the one. Okay, sir. I haven't yet talked to my kitchen thing. I'm not sure.
Herb is in town. Sergeant Schreiber.